You're listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world.
We believe God is already at work in your city. We're here to help you ask, what is God doing where I live, and how can I join in?
If you love your city, love the church, and believe God can do amazing things in your city, you're in the right place.
Let's get started.
Aha moment of the body of Christ saying we can work with everybody in the community in order to really impact schools and really transform not only schools, but through schools, whole neighborhoods. That idea is really taking hold.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the City Gospel Movement podcast. Today, we are talking with Tracy Beal, the Executive Director of School Connect in Phoenix, Arizona. If you have not heard of School Connect, you are in for a treat. School Connect creates dynamic partnerships among businesses, faith, government, and nonprofit organizations that come around schools. To date, they've facilitated partnerships of over 430 schools and are being asked to share their model and how they're doing it around the United States. So thank you so much for joining us here today, Tracy.
I'm just so privileged, so excited to get to be with you, Stephanie. Love City Movement, all the leaders that are connecting together to make our cities better. It's just a real joy to be here.
Oh, that's awesome. We're really privileged. I'm really excited about interviewing you and discussing what you've been doing and how you got there. And, you know, Tracy, you're such a dynamic leader. You're a pastor, a former Young Life staff person. You have such a heart for people. I would love to kind of hear just how this whole thing, we'll get to the secret sauce of what you're doing and why it's becoming so successful. But before we do that, I want to just hear the background. What was it that got you started in this work, having already been a pastor and having done Young Life in the past? What was this catapult into this phase of your life?
Well, I was working with college students, and I was in the process of their growth in Christ. We were going out to serve. And so I was taking groups of college students to different countries. So Mexico house building and Costa Rica and Peru. And we happened to be in Peru with these college students who were serving in a public school. And it was a special needs public school. They were building a ramp because it was for special needs kids and they needed that for their wheelchairs. And I was standing there watching all this happen. The folks from the school said, man, why would all these college students come all the way here to help us? And of course, that gave us the great opportunity to share Jesus. And while I am there, I'm realizing that everywhere I go in other countries, we focus on schools as the way to minister to the whole community. And that's when I realized, why are we not doing this in the United States? And then there is so much need in my city in Phoenix, Arizona. Like, let's do it overseas, but let's do it at home too. So those two things really hit me. I came back working with ASU, with Young Life, with churches, with businesses, and said, what if we were to start seeing real change happen in schools right in our own community? And that was kind of the birthplace of the idea.
Yeah, you know, it's so often the case that we ask a very similar question when passions and visions like this get started. And it usually starts with what if, or what would happen if, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so tell us a little bit just about Phoenix. I mean, I know the stats are probably not that far different than most of our cities as far as graduation rates. And what happened next with just trying to understand where the real core needs were in your city of Phoenix?
Right. So Arizona is really struggling to move students along. We have about a 35% rate of poverty in Phoenix, and our third grade reading and eighth grade math levels are probably close to that percentage as well, more like a 34% passage. We have lost almost 2,000 teachers in our system, so we're down 2,000 teachers. The pipeline going into our education programs and our universities is down by about 25%. And then the number of teachers who can retire in the next year or two is at about 25%. So basically, we are low in terms of our pay for teachers. We have a low number of people who are going into education. And then, of course, that affects how well our kids are doing academically. So it really has been a key point, both for our governor, for really every sector is concerned about education in Arizona. And it's a privilege to be able to have the faith community participate in that. And say, boy, if we work with everybody, maybe we could make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those stats for most major metropolitan cities are probably not too far off as far as graduation rates and mm-hmm. third grade reading levels. And so take us back to kind of when this whole thing started and what were the first initial learnings and the things that you just thought, okay, let's start here.
Yes, I had the privilege of working with the nonprofit education world. So from ASU, from Stan Rowland, from Neighborhood Ministries, from Kit Danley in Neighborhood Ministries. So all of those people were really a part of giving me personally and then our team training on understanding asset-based community development. And that was a whole new way of looking at a situation. Instead of looking first in a needs assessment, we were looking at what do they want? What do they have? What resources, what goals is waiting right there that has not been accessed that could be used to meet their core needs and goals? And so instead of kind of rushing in and determining what somebody needs and then trying to come up with it, we were really asking the question, what do you want? What do you need? What is it that you want to accomplish? And what might we access that is right there in your community and in your neighborhood? And that's a very empowering approach. It's not condescending. And so I'm so glad that we had that opportunity to view it that direction.
Right, right.
Because I think, you know, compassionate, empathetic people that we are, we sometimes want to solve people's problems for them instead of asking the question and walking alongside them in their journey to solve their own problem.
Yeah, I totally think that, you know, what you guys have created there in Phoenix is kind of almost flipping this thing upside down a little bit, because when we talk about church school partnerships, so often it's the model of the church deciding that they're going to adopt a school and then the church kind of moving towards that school with, you know, hopefully just a loose agenda of wanting to help, right? But you've kind of turned this thing upside down. And instead of the church pushing into the school, you're helping the leadership to look out into the community. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to break that apart for us, you know, maybe even take us back to how did that model first start for you? And then how are you seeing it be so successful?
Well, I do think it was a complete paradigm shift to really put the school in the center of our equation, and to start with top leadership. And so by talking with the superintendent, making sure that we really clearly understand what their vision is, what their needs are, and really saying, let us walk alongside you to help bring community partners so that you stay in the driver's seat. When we've done that, then superintendents have buy-in, and then they approach the principals and say, hey, School Connect would love to help us build a village of support around each of our schools. That means now principals are open and they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Uh-huh. So what goals do you have for your school? That could mean, of course, third grade reading, but it could also mean we need to recruit and retain teachers. We need to engage parents at a totally different level. We need a character program that will help change the culture of the school so that learning can happen. We want to start an after-school program that will support academic achievement. Whatever that is, then they get to be very strategic in that driver's seat and say, this is what we need. And then you bring the community partners, and everybody in the village counts, So that neighborhood association, Kiwanis, the local business, fire, police, city council, everybody comes to the table. Then you start to matchmake the organization with what the school needs. And that strategic partnership actually starts moving the dial. And from a faith-based perspective, the believer begins to see that the journey of serving that school, rubbing elbows with others in their very own community, even who are not yet believers, is this wonderful opportunity to share Jesus and the kingdom as you go.
Yeah, it really is. I wish I had a dollar for every time that I say, oh, you need to check out School Connect and what they're doing. I'd literally be rich right now. Because it really is one of the most sustainable models out there, because I think of the challenges of oftentimes the success of the church pushing into the school is based on how long that person who has passion for that project stays at the church, if they've moved out of the area, if some administration changes at the school and they no longer want that partnership.
Yep.
But by training the superintendent through the principal administration staff to push out into the community, and the church is one of those people, I think is really a sustainable model that has longevity years down the road, and to where you're training the staff to recognize the church as a valuable asset. They're inviting them in.
Yes.
So I would love to hear more about just how you guys go about that training, because I know you do some big events for administration. So share with us just how that kind of evolved and then where it is today.
Sure. Well, I would say that kind of our secret sauce of building those community partnerships at the core is a roundtable conversation that we call a CAFE, and that stands for Community and Family Engagement. But really what it is simple. It's a principal hosting a table of community partners. So that's where they're inviting the local pastor and business leader and nonprofit, et cetera, to the table. And that's their chance to kind of share about their school, helping people fall in love with that school and see the great things that they're accomplishing, as well as their challenges. It's also a place to really hear from the community partners. What does community and partnership mean to you? What are your goals? Because we want to build win-win partnerships. That's the only way you really do create sustainability. Whether it's a church or a business or a nonprofit organization, they all kind of have goals that they need to fulfill. And if we match that together so that they're doing the very thing that they're called to do, that they're good at doing with what the school needs, then it produces this beautiful change and lots of really amazing, loving relationships. So that village that becomes family, really. We use that CAFE as kind of the deepest part of building the partnership. We also have things like Love Our Schools Day, which would be a service day, which we really use as a kind of a runway to build relationships. So this last year, we had about 10,000 volunteers serve in about 250 schools.
Wow.
And really, we're saying to principals and to community partners alike, it's great to have a day of service. We want that. But really what we're trying to build is that relationship of trust so that then we can do collaboration where real change can happen and real support can happen. So we train then all of the principals before we do a Love Our Schools Day or before we do a CAFE. We do have an online training program for both of those. And we have that kind of training toolkit as well for the churches and for the businesses. Because really often, building trusted relationship and being strategic and collaborating are not the things that just come naturally.
Right, right.
You know, you actually have to teach people how to do that.
And trust it, right?
Yes, totally, totally, yep. We even have a little video that we've called Lost in Translation, because so often in partnerships, there's misunderstandings. Hmm. And those misunderstandings stop partnership in their tracks.
That's right.
But if you understand the dynamic of what is happening and what the other person might be thinking, then you can kind of pull down the barriers and continue forward.
Yeah. So Tracy, I would love to hear some examples of just a tangible example of how this has worked and how this has been a real game changer, maybe for a principal or a superintendent, because it takes time for them to really buy into something like this, right? And they need to see it working.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, one of the stories that is really cool, because we started with this particular principal back at Palo Verde, which was the very first school that we built this model at years ago. That principal, working with a whole village of people, turned around a middle school of about 900 seventh and eighth graders. And then she was courageous enough and passionate enough to take on a brand new school of 1,500 K through eighth graders, Mountain View School. And the circumstances of that school were right in the middle of that change happening right today. But, you know, struggling academically in a part of Phoenix where there's major gangs, drug addiction, homelessness. She would say her kindergartners are walking through homelessness encampments and drugs on their way to school. And so she knew that she really had to work with the whole community to really change the culture around the school. And then she also had to try to change the culture of the school. She was losing about 30 teachers. So she's in year two right now. Her first year, she lost 30 teachers she had to replace.
Wow.
The second year, she had lost 15 teachers. And this year, she has lost no teachers. So she went from one community partner, a faithful church, a Desert Christian, wonderful church, to 24 partners now who are coming around that school and helping them. And they're helping them by bringing gift cards and writing cards to teachers. They're helping by bringing pen pals in to build relationships with kids. They're doing after-school tutoring. They're coming in twice a year and doing beautification, not only of the school, but of the whole community around it. The city is involved. The neighborhood specialist is involved. The county health department is involved. Businesses are involved. So they just did that this last week. They brought Young Life College in. And they did team building with the kids during the week. And then they threw a huge pep rally for all the kids who were taking AZ Merit testing this week.
Oh, that's awesome.
To encourage them, to give them vision for it's important to really try hard on these tests. And so they are building this community of parents, of neighbors, of churches, businesses, government, everybody together saying, we need to make a difference. And it's not all said and done. This is something that takes time to build, but we can see the changes happening a year and a half in. And it's so exciting to see the incredible passion, both of the principal, the teachers, and now that whole community.
I just love it. I mean, she better watch out because she's going to have a lineup of 30 teachers that want to teach at that school now, right?
She is. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, it's just so great. The thing I love about it the most is the ownership of the administration, like that they are being taught and trained on how to go and grab these partners. It's adding to their job descriptions in many ways, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that is a great new development that we were able to start this summer, and we're so grateful, there were two young college students, one just graduated and one's about to graduate, but from a Christian university, Grand Canyon University, we said to them, we really need to be able to give principals an idea of who is in their community who could potentially become partners. Because that's the question. You just said it. There's more work involved. So who could that be? And so they developed for us a digital asset map. So we are actually able to track all the schools, businesses, faith communities, and School Connect partners this month in Arizona, the whole state of Arizona. So that means we can either pull those partners for an entire school district, Or we could put a point at Mountain View School and do a 3-mile radius around it and then produce a report that gives all the schools, businesses, churches, nonprofits, and School Connect partners there. And those organizations that are School Connect partners have a real person who has agreed to be the contact person. So now you've got someone who is warm, who wants to participate with the school. So when that principal or whoever they have on the school side reaches out, there's a real person there. So that's very helpful, I think, to them. We've created a letter that they can email out, that they can send to people, so that we're trying to create as many tools to make a clear and simple pathway. And then we're also training what we call school champions. So those are folks in the community who would walk alongside a principal and help to facilitate these partnerships, so that it's not just on a principal's lap. And we're training those people in little learning communities so that they can be really significant change agents that walk alongside the school.
Yeah, because it's really just on that front end piece. Once it gets up and rolling and you know who the community partners are and the churches, then the heavy lifting is not as great, right? It's just in those initial phases.
It saves time. In the end, then, you know, here's the casting vision for the end goal. It would be that before school year even starts, a principal has met with their community partners and they have a plan for the school year. And now this church does a meal for teachers, for parent-teacher conferences. And maybe all the partners get together for the Love Our Schools Day, service day. And then this business provides something for kids after school. Maybe it's the rewards for the positive behavior intervention program. And so you match make each organization up with what they can do during the school year. And now you're just working your plan. And when you get together with those community partners on a quarterly basis, you're celebrating, you're thanking, you're debriefing. If a crisis happens, now you've got a whole team of people who can come around that crisis, but it's not a crisis-driven program. It's an actual, hey, we're all working together and nobody's getting wiped out because there's not one
right
faithful church that always gets the phone call.
Right.
You're trying to divide and conquer, and that creates sustainability too.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. It's been so fun to hear people talk about how this podcast has impacted the way they're leading in their city. We know some of you listen to this podcast while running, on your commute, or even walking your dog. If you can, just take a few seconds and comment on whichever podcast platform you listen to. Rate the podcast and write a simple message. These comments make a huge difference in getting the message about City Gospel Movement's out. Thanks for listening, and we're so glad you're a part of the conversation.
Oh man, I just absolutely 100%, if you cannot tell, I love this program.
Well, it's fun to see it work. It's so exciting to see it work.
It is what our schools and our communities need. I know that you've had, you know, great favor and inroads into the government there in Arizona, the state level, and would love for just to kind of share about some of how this has kind of evolved into getting a little bit more up on the radar of some of these organizations and especially at the state level.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that just kind of blew our minds, which happened about 4 years ago, so in this process, and we've only been truly a nonprofit for 5 years, but the model has been going on for more like 12 years. So that, you know, we had time to develop it before we tried to become a nonprofit and scale it. And I'm grateful for that. But basically, before President Trump became president, Obama had a very strong organization wanting to connect faith communities to schools. And so they contacted the Arizona Department of Ed and said, we would love to see your best practice of faith community joining with the rest of the community and loving on schools. And the Arizona Department of Ed said, let us call the Washington Elementary School District. And they literally, the U.S. Department of Education, the Arizona Department of Education, the superintendent, school board, all of us gathered together at Palo Verde Middle School, which is where we started this first model, and shared the model and shared the story. And so since then, the 21st Century National Program, which is a wonderful after-school learning center grant program, had us share the model at their national convention here in Phoenix. We've spoken to the Arizona School Boards Association and the Arizona Superintendents Association about the model. The Arizona Department of Education 2 weeks ago put on their website our video from our School Connect Summit in January and tells the story of the partnership building that we've been doing with the Paradise Valley School District. And so we're very excited because we really think that there are 61 school districts around Maricopa, many more than that in the state of Arizona. But this model of everybody in the village coming around a school and bringing the faith community to that table is something that is really being valued by superintendents and by the Department of Ed. And it does change when they have total buy-in and they're inviting the church and the business to the table. So it's you know, it's really beyond what I expected. I'm so grateful. I think we're always in learning mode, so there's lots more we can learn and grow. Right now in Arizona, two amazing nonprofits who we're partners with, the Center for the Future of Arizona and Expect More Arizona, created an Arizona Education Progress Meter. So that's like in 20 years, this is where we want to be. Right now, this is where we are. How are we going to accomplish step-by-step getting there for things like third grade reading and eighth grade math, kindergarten readiness for high school and college, and then even career? And so the whole state of Arizona has gotten behind this progress meter. And so working with those two organizations, with ASU and also Grand Canyon University, we would love to see an actual metric for community and family engagement that would align with the education progress meter so that we're kind of clear, all of us, this is how the community can make that difference in these key areas. Because everyone knows that things like mentoring and tutoring and even food and clothing changes the academic and whole child outcome. But we would love to be able to kind of show that process. So we're still in process. There's still so much to be done. But we love the progress that has happened already.
Oh, yeah. I just say buckle up, because this is, you know, it truly is what so many communities need. So, you know, with that being said, I know that you're getting more visibility across the United States. And what has just been kind of your take as far as how you might see this kind of move into other communities and kind of into a reproducible model of something that doesn't necessarily have to just be applicable only in Arizona?
Right. Well, first, I think that there are amazing ministries all across the country who are serving schools, and I'm in contact with so many of them, and I just want to shout out to all of them that you are doing phenomenal work and you're incredible leaders with such passion. So it is a true privilege to get to work alongside them. And then I would say that the aha moment of the body of Christ saying we can work with everybody in the community in order to really impact schools and really transform not only schools, but through schools, whole neighborhoods. That idea is really taking hold. Mm-hmm. So wherever I go around the country, what I'm discovering is that they're saying, yes, why don't we work with the university? Why don't we work with the government? Why don't we work with that nonprofit? They don't have to all be faith-based, but let's bring the church to the table. And that's just made, I think, a huge difference, that open door in people's minds. And really that they understand that the journey of sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God is really the journey with everybody as we do something that is the common good. So there's that opportunity to preach the gospel through relationship. You mentioned before that I'm a pastor at Pure Heart Church. I get to see behind the scenes, the numbers literally now by the thousands of people who are coming to church and coming to know Christ because of what we've done in the community. And I'm starting to see that in other places all around the country. So I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
I think technology is now allowing us to jump online just like we're doing right now and hear each other's stories, problem solve together, learn from one another, learn all the differences between cities and educational systems. But there's a lot in common. And so I'm really excited. I think it's also the church can make such a difference with parents. Every school wants to engage their parents, wants provision for their parents. And so we've gotten to see some beautiful programs happen where the church is getting to actually listen to parents as they go through the process of learning how to parent their kids and helping them to process that and do that together. So, I mean, there's so many opportunities everywhere. It's just exciting.
It is. And at the end of the day, it just boils down to relationships, right? It's being willing to step into relationships. I want to hear one of those stories about when you said thousands of people coming to church because of being engaged with people from the community and from the church. I want to hear one of those stories.
Yeah. Well, one of the stories I can think of is a man who started out, he had just gone through a very difficult divorce and was a single dad with a little 2-year-old. And he was trying to find a place to live and a job. And so he ended up working for a school district close by Pure Heart. And he was in a very painful place in his life, obviously. And so he was struggling. And his boss at the school district heard him say, "Gosh, you know, I'm really struggling." And she was not a Christian. But she said, "You know, that Pure Heart Church just does this stuff for us all the time. I just bet you that they would help if you were to go there."
Oh, wow. That's so great.
So he came to Pure Heart and I ran into him and he was sitting in the back row. And our lead pastor at one point in his life went through a very painful divorce and was sharing about that from the stage. And here this man is sitting in the back seat of the church and he hears somebody be transparent about their own struggles. Mm-hmm. And he said, I found a place where people will love me and allow me to be in the place I am and come out of that, eventually heal and grow. And so he's still here. This is about 2 years later, 3 years later. He is a very involved part of Pure Heart and growing in the Lord, and he serves here and all of that because his boss said, "You should go check out that church because they will love you," you know?
Oh my goodness. What a beautiful representation. Mm-hmm. Like that is fantastic. Word indeed. That is so, so fantastic. Tracy, what's got you really fired up right now? Like I know this organization and what you're doing is thrilling and you're doing incredible things, but what is it that like kind of is burning in your heart right now for kind of the next thing or the next idea within School Connect?
Yeah, something that we have not talked a lot about in a public way, but we're in the middle of, and that is that we are hearing from schools all over Arizona, and this is now reverberating when I talked with other city movement leaders in other states, about the need for the recognition that our kids are coming from trauma in their backgrounds. So their adverse childhood experience scores are high. They're coming from all these experiences that are impacting the way they're able to succeed in school.
Yeah, their behaviors are tricky. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so what we're hearing from schools is we need training. We need support. We want support not only for our kids. We want support for our parents. And even we want support for our teachers and principals. And so we have great partners in the state of Arizona. The governor himself has said we would love a trauma-informed state. And just hosted a conference. Grand Canyon University is hosting a conference next week. Pure Heart Church did the Resilient Church Conference, which is a group of churches who are trying to help the faith community truly become trained and know how to respond to this. But specifically, one of the things that we're getting to do is start chaplains for schools.
Wow.
And I'm so excited about this. It really came from listening to a superintendent of a large school district, 32 schools. He said, you know, I have 30 social workers and they cannot begin to keep up with all of the trauma and difficulty that is going on. And I thought, why don't we have chaplains for schools? So I contacted the gal who's the head of all the social workers and ran the idea by her. And she said, you know, we have a crisis response team on the school district side of things, but we don't have somebody who would continue walking with people,
right,
you know, visiting them in the hospital and making sure they get counseling and food and housing, whatever it is that they need. And so we have begun a program. There are some churches, I know Pure Heart is one of them, Dream City Church out here is one of them, who already have chaplain programs. So the people go through training to become chaplains and serve in the community. Then they go through orientation and training with a school district. And then they start walking alongside teachers or parents or even students as they go through crisis. And our first phone call from the school district, our first one was a 12-year-old who had taken his life. And the social worker asked if we would bring our chaplains to the school to meet with the teachers. And then it turned out, of course, that the mother of that little 12-year-old boy was a teacher at another school.
Oh my goodness.
And I knew the principal of that school. So that principal was with that mom down at the hospital. And that principal has a 12-year-old son. So you just see the circle of ministry that is possible, that is needed by the body of Christ. So I'm very excited about that. We're just in the early stages, but it seems like that is such a natural fit.
Yeah.
For the body of Christ.
Yeah. I know it is. It's one of the things that's high on the list here in the Portland Public Schools is just the behavior challenges, and the problems are not going to get easier and the funds are not going to magically appear. Right.
So, right. And there's a program called the Positive Behavior Intervention System, which is many schools across the country use. And there are three different levels of those interventions. And really, the body of Christ has the opportunity to serve in any single one of those. So, I mean, it's just really exciting to see the possibilities.
Well, all I know is if you want to stay close to what is possible in your public schools and in your community, stay close to Tracy Beal. You probably have the next best idea.
Or my team or somebody I know, because I have so many amazing people around me.
Well, it's true for all of us, you know, doing this kind of work, right? Is we stay close to the Lord and He brings the ideas. And then it's the people that are willing to execute to those ideas.
Yeah, we have phenomenal people around. I mean, I have an amazing team, and then all of our partners all across the state of Arizona are incredible.
Well, so Tracy, if people want to hear more and see more of what you are doing, how would they connect with you and your team?
Sure. Our website would be a wonderful way of doing that. That would be at www.schoolconnectaz.org. But you could also email me personally if you would like to. And that's Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, at schoolconnectaz.org.
Awesome. Well, Tracy, this is, as always, such a pleasure to get to talk with you and hear what you're up to. And thank you so much for giving us your time and, you know, for pouring into those kids and the state of Arizona, and for now sharing your learnings with others across the country. Thank you so much.
Well, what a privilege. The City Movement organization, you know, you guys have the best people ever, humble, wise, knowledgeable, able to really connect people across the country. It's such a privilege to be a part.
Well, thank you.
We're excited to introduce you to our newest venture. Everybody hear that? Our newest venture. It's the City Gospel Movement's coaching program. You may ask, what do you mean by that? Well, have you ever had an idea you're wanting to brainstorm around with someone? You say, I think this idea might work in our city, but I'm not quite sure. Or maybe you're just getting started and want to touch base with someone over the course of several months. We've called together 9 of some of the sharpest gospel movement practitioners to make themselves available as gospel movement coaches. These coaches have mud on their boots, proven experience as practitioners in their own cities. They're innovators and risk takers, and the best part is they have the heart of a teacher. They want to share ideas, but they also desire to learn from others. If you're interested in bouncing ideas around or receiving guidance over the course of a period of time, the City Gospel Movement's coaching program is for you. Visit citygospelmovements.org/coaching, where you'll be able to find more information and fill out a form where we can learn about you and then connect you to a coach who would be a good fit. Again, if you're interested, visit citygospelmovements.org/coaching, where you can learn more and fill out a super simple form to find out about this personalized, super relational, and free City Gospel Movement's coaching program. We can't wait to support you in the work you're doing in your city.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. For more resources, show notes, and to get connected to gospel movements around the globe, visit citygospelmovements.org. That's citygospelmovements.org. Keep believing in what God can do in your city.